And our Father's Word, how beautiful it is. Refreshed and refreshing. That's the subject for today. And we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. What has happened in the first verses of this Acts chapter 3? Peter and John have come in the city, and there's a man, he's paralyzed from birth. And they carry him forth every day to beg for alms there at the place. And he looked upon them, asked for alms, and they said, "We don't have any gold or anything to give you, but we got something a lot better." And they touched him, and he was made strong. He stood, and he was healed. And the people were amazed at how this came to be. And then they began to answer and tell them how. So we pick it up then in chapter 3, the book of Acts, verse 12, with the word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" It sure wasn't us. This is the biggest mistake people make when they pray for people to be healed. They think they're going to do it. There's no way you can. Doctors can assist. But Christ heals. Our Father heals. You have to give Him the credit, and you have to know He's the one that does it. That's why you always ask in His name. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go." Pilate wanted to release Him. He said, "I've got an old criminal over here I'll give you instead." And they chose Barabbas instead of Christ, who was a murderer, because they helped Christ. Why? It was meant to be that that was the time the sacrifice would be given. 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, O Barabbas." 15, "And you killed the Prince of Life," that's to say of eternal life, "He that gives us eternal life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." We observed it, we talked with Him, we know that He's alive, and He gives us eternal life. "And His name through faith," underline that in your mind, "His name through faith in His name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." It was His faith in Almighty God. That's what gets it done, my friends. Christ does it if you believe. If you have faith in Him, He'll refresh your life. And we'll talk about that refreshing more. It's important and imperative, especially in troubled times, that you know how to find that refreshing. Verse 17, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers." Unfortunately, if you don't know the truth, many people do things in ignorance, both nationally, in the community, family, and home. 18, "But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled." He told us way back in Psalms 22 exactly how He was going to be crucified, what He would be saying, what the enemy would be saying, what the chief priest would be saying, everything, 1,000 years before the fact. What does that mean to you today? Whatever God prophesies, you can count on it. That's the way it's going to happen. If you have faith, it'll even happen in your life today. Verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That means totally done away with. Don't you ever dare bring it up again. "When the times of refreshing," that's why we came here, "shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, this word refreshing, I don't care what language you say it in, you need to go back to the etymology of it. What does it mean? It means to be refreshed both nationally, in your family. It means also to recover. The very etymology is recovery of breath. And remember what your breath is. That's your spirit being, basically. That's what it signifies. To refresh, the etymology means to cool or calm by whooshing or blowing upon something. That's the etymology of it. That's what it means, that you must breathe in, breathe deep. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe in the breath of life and be refreshed in Christ, knowing that He is with you. You either believe that or you don't. There's no, well, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. You either believe it or you don't. Don't kid yourself, all right? That refreshing is what cools your sense. When you're stressed, you need that. Well, who gives it? He just told you. When you open your heart and your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you recover that breath of relaxing, of refreshing yourself, of knowing and understanding. And the etymology being to blow on something to cool it, to whoosh it like you would food that's too hot, okay? That means your very spirit has that effect on other people. It's calming to be around somebody that is spiritually led by Almighty God, and they're a comfort to others. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in them, and that comforts. Wherever you walk, whatever you do, that's true refreshing. And that's the etymology of the word. That's exactly what it means. When you speak of the breath of life, it means even when your body is stressed, you know, if you're in the Corps, well, if you're in any service, basically, one of the main things they teach you is breathe deep. Breathe, breathe, breathe. And you'll go further. You'll be a lot healthier. So here, this applies spiritually also, because you're breathing in and cooling your own conscience and soul and being and refreshing yourself with the Spirit of Christ. That's His promise to you. It's real. There's nothing halfway about it. It's very true. And when you recover that breath, this means to recover control of your family, of yourself, to refresh your family, your community. When you're led of God, you have that ability. That's what Peter's telling them here. Man doesn't do it. John and I didn't do it. It was Christ that did it. He refreshed us. Verse 20 to continue. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. That Holy Spirit will come. Christ will come. 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. That truth was there for you to absorb, for you to grab, for you to hang on to. If God touched you and gave you the wisdom to understand the truth and the simplicity in which Christ delivers it. You know, the word rest, R-E-S-T, many times is translated as a part of the word anapsis in the Greek tongue, which means to recover your breath or to blow on to cool your sense, to cool yourself down if you're angry. And the word rest is a part of that. And restitution has that word rest in it also. It means to replace that was as you should be. Verse 22, that is to say those that deserve it, all right, and all things are not restored. Why? Because they don't deserve it. But if you believe and if you follow, if you deserve to be restored, if you deserve to be refreshed, He's going to do it. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. It's going to be like you, like unto me. You know, but he's going to be like God. And if you've seen Christ, you've seen God. Why? Because he was Emmanuel, God with us. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. In other words, you were told in Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin's going to conceive in verse 14. She's going to deliver a child, and you're going to call him Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. So let there be no bones about it. He is with us, and he shall be with us. 23, and it shall, our Heavenly Father, that is to say. And it shall come to pass, in verse 23, that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Has no place with them. When heaven comes, when the cleansing takes place, there's no room for that is disagreeable, right, or that does not believe. It's not going to be there. There will be no more of it. 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. It was Samuel that God sent out to Jesse and said, you got a boy somewhere that I need to anoint. And with him will come that prince. That was to say, little David. And through him came the Lord Jesus Christ through that genealogy. Verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed, that your children, shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. They have compassion, they will lead, they will, and with God's blessings. 26, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You can't help but turn away from sin willingly or knowingly when you know he's there, that he's with you, that he loves you, and he refreshes you. I'm going to tell you something. It's harder every day to make it without that refreshing as we close in on these end times. God's finger is touching this earth even now, as he promised. Many things are happening. There's a reason for it. When you bring perversion with the speed that man has in a free nation, when God doesn't even want the straddle trench in the camp, in the military, and you bring perversion directly into the camp, God won't put up with it. Therefore, you're going to have floods, you're going to have fires, and you're going to have things that are going to upset people. But until there is a change, it won't affect you. Because God will always refresh you and bring you through it if you believe. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I want to pick it up with verse 20. Matthew 11, 25, and it reads, And that time, Jesus answered and said, they were kind of wanted to see signs and pretty things and question him. And he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You've revealed them to your own children. The people that are wise in the ways of the world, the real truth is hidden from them. They do not know that the false Christ is coming first. Why? They haven't been taught. And quite frankly, most of them could care less. They wouldn't believe anyway. But from those that are of that seed, those that are intended to lead their people, those that are babes that wanted the milk, the word of God, as well as the milk, then the meat of God's word, he reveals it to them. What a blessing it is in this generation to have that truth. 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, it seemed good to you to allow them. If they want to confuse themselves, let them. 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. When that truth comes on, if you seek for it, he touches you. He gives you that knowledge. It's the refreshing. He refreshes you with the truth where you are not going to be deceived, and there is no way you're going to bow to the false one. There's no way you're going to listen to his malarkey. Why? Because you have the truth. And as simple as it is so difficult to understand, to understand, it's difficult to understand why can't everyone see it? It's that simple. Well, many of them, Christ blinded himself for their own ignorance because they probably could not have stood against the false one anyway, but you can. Why? Well, the following reason, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's that word rest, which is enatzok, which is to say refreshment. If you're heavy laden, if you've got a troubled life, come to me. Don't mess around. Just come to me and let me refresh you. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, why do you put a yoke on? Because when you're pulling heavy loads, if you just have a tug without a yoke, it's going to cut into you. It's going to hurt you. But Christ is that yoke. And when you put him on, you can pull anything. By that I mean you can pull a load. He can help you. He will make that load easy to bear. If you have faith in him and you trust him, put Christ on and let him give you rest. And he will give you that refreshing whereby you can, that whatever they've put on your cart, you can tow it. You can handle it. That's serving the living God. Again, that's part of the rest and the restoring. His yoke makes that real easy. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You'll find that refreshing to your soul if you'll listen to him, find him. That's his promise. He will, again, touch you so that you have that knowledge and that refreshing. That gets you through life. It gets it done. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. After you take him on, you know, hey, let Satan bring it on, okay? Because you have power over him. Therefore, you can be at the same time meek and lowly. But know with compassion, you're going to protect people and lead as many people as you can to the truth, standing against the false one. And you're going to do it bravely and boldly with a meek and a lowly heart. Why? Because having taken Christ upon yourself, that load is light. And his rest comes where, well, I just get all shook up. Well, shame on you. Okay. Relax a minute. Breathe deep. And why don't you try believing? You know, he can handle it for you. Why are you struggling with it? Do it the way he tells you to, or you know that is common sense. And ask his help and his blessings. And let him help you. That's what he does. And so many people avoid that or deny it, and they won't ask for His help. So why should He give it? Okay. Talk to Him. Let Him know. Take Him on yourself. The load is light with that particular yoke on. Go with me to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up in verse 5. And here we have the teachings of 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 5, and it reads, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" That's to say, both those that have passed on and you that are living today. Who can give account to God? Verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached, that good news, also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And back in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, you'll find that when Christ was in the tomb, he went all the way back to the time of Noah, so that people that had passed on would have an opportunity to accept Christ and his belief. Why? Because God is fair to all people. He doesn't give you an opportunity to have your sins forgiven after the crucifixion and leave those hanging out that died before the crucifixion without giving them the same opportunity. That's what he's talking about. He's fair, always. Verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." In other words, talk to him and watch events in this world. They're important. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And it is, good works do cover a multitude of sins. We all fall short. That erases them. 9, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." 10, "As every man hath received the gift from God," what? Teaching, leading, guiding, just talking to others in your profession. "Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God," his love. You take care of the gifts that God gives you. You might say, "Well, I didn't know God had given me a gift." Ask one of your friends about your smile when he's refreshed you, and how that smile can raise people up and give people hope. You see, all these are gifts from God. And God doesn't give one person or any three persons all the gifts. They're spread about equally. Don't be afraid to use them. "If any man speak," and that's to say preach, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, let him teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse instead of a bunch of malarkey he might come up with. Okay? "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Always do it his way. That is, if you want his blessings. Okay? That's what this comes down. If you want to be refreshed, if you want your family to be refreshed, do it his way. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." When you see these troubles in the world, boy, that shakes me up. Well, you're not much, are you? Don't ever let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? Why? Because God's with you. There's tough times coming. And if you can't handle the infantry, what are you going to do when the cavalry comes over the hill? Okay. What are you going to do when the false one comes? You've got to be set for it. And you've got to be set in the Word of God, in His faith, refreshed, to know you're not a wimp. You're a can-do type person. Verse 13, "But rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that When his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Why? Because he's going to bless you. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Mark that word, resteth. That's refresheth. It's upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. It's not all that popular to be a Christian in many places of the world today. In Egypt, it was supposed to be so great, our government thought that the Brotherhood was taking over, and they're murdering Christians right and left, burning churches, okay, swarming. Times are not all that good, but when you understand that it was spoken of long ago that it would happen just that way, when you look at the leadership and see them fall into the trap, don't you go there either. You know he told you, he forewarned you, be warned of it. They will speak evil of Christianity, but don't worry, we win. We're the winning party all the way around. And so it is. Verse 15. That resteth is to refresh you in a troubled world. You need it today. Your family needs it. 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, but as a as a busybody of any man's matters. You don't need that. You don't have time for it. And verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Why? He's not going to let anything happen. You're going to do just fine. Just stay tough and stay with him. 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? This is why, what does it mean? It begins at the house of God. Right here at this pulpit. That's where judgment begins. That's why you'd better know what you're talking about. And you'd better stick with God's word instead of the traditions of men. Because they make void the word of God. Do your homework. Be yourself. Using common sense, you're serving God. That's God puts things, if it doesn't make common sense, it's probably not from God. You better take another look at it. God doesn't make things even the least little bit difficult for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of God's word. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 19 to complete. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You know why he created you? You know why your DNA is different than anyone else's? Unless you're a twin. Because he wanted somebody like you. Now, why he would want two just alike, I don't know, but he does. They're precious. That's fine. But anyway, he wanted someone just like you. He was your creator. He's your father. Closest relative you will ever have. And his words say, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So what are you afraid of? In a mixed up, troubled world where people don't know come here from Sikkim. Okay. Basically, they don't. Okay. When God has given you the truth, you know the trumps, you know what order they come in. You know who appears at the sixth trump? Satan. You know who appears at the seventh? Christ. And you're going to do exactly what he has told you to do. Why? Because he's with you. And he will never leave you. Now, let's have a little prophecy concerning this generation by going to Isaiah chapter 28 to complete this lecture. Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Ephraim is the head of the 10 tribes. It means the 10 northern tribes, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. They don't look like much. Which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. In other words, they are confused. They're fuzzy-headed. 2. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Our Father knows what's going on. Well, my goodness, we're having a lot of fires and a lot of floods and a lot of bad storms. Well, aren't we? Well, read on. 3. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. Don't bring perversion into the house of Israel. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. And fat valleys sure burn good. Many houses burn good in fat valleys. 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. That's to say, those that are refreshed, those that truly follow him. Verse 6. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. In other words, that battle to keep things honest. The gate is always a place of judgment. To stick to God's judgment of doing what is right, not perversion. Perversion will bring down the fall. But there's always that residue of people that know truth will keep things in good order. Now, skip on, if you would, to verse 9. Skip down to verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? That they are weaned from the milk and drink from the breast. In other words, that you grow up and mature. Who can he teach the word of God to that you can see and know and understand what's going down? That you can look around and smell the smoke. Okay? Or you can see the flood and understand it. That our Father's not happy. Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Very confusing to some people. Why? Because they don't know the Word of God from the Word of man. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. These people that are bringing all this perversion and this stuff down, do you know what lips they're going to hear? The lips of the Antichrist. He speaks a language they can understand, but it's sure not God's word. It's sure not the true doctrine that you should have gained from the milk and from the breast, even when you first started, and come into the truth and can count from 1 to 7 to know the difference in the trumps, the vials, and the seals, whereby you're not deceived in this generation. Because that stammering is coming. And you know what? The majority of people will think it's holy, because they truly are going to believe that he is the Christ. Why? They're not refreshed in the truth. They're not refreshed in the Word of God. And you know something? It shows real good that they're not. Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest, that's your refreshing. This is the refreshing wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, to be refreshed. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They won't listen. Well, I told this person that the Antichrist was coming first. He said, no, not to me. I'm gone. I'm going to be right out of here. I'm rapturing out. I'm gone. Where did you read that? Well, it's in the Bible. Well, where? Where does it really? I've read it in many languages, and I have not seen that. I've read quite the contrary, that Christ is coming here. And I kind of want to be here to meet him. I want to be here to do his work. And then they don't understand the tenses, the message. You know, if not understanding the tenses can really confuse you in the resurrection, which has three meanings. Simply, do you understand that learning the truth raises you to a higher level of thinking? That's one of the meanings of the word resurrection. That you know and understand you're a higher learned person. Doesn't make you any better than anyone else, but it makes you a whole lot better off than a lot of other people because you see the truth, and that truth is valuable. You don't hear stammering lips that don't come through, that do not make sense, but you hear the truth. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And so it is that Father's word, I mean, Christ himself can become a stumbling block because of the false Christ. You understand what I mean? In other words, they believe in Christ. Yeah, we'll accept Christ. But they don't know which one. Okay, that makes a big difference. 14, wherefore hear the word of the Lord. You scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. That's to say, where those tribes are. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. You know who death is. It's Satan. And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge and our and under falsehood have we hid ourselves and their children and their families. You don't want to go there. You want to be refreshed with truth and true teaching to know the false one when he comes, the language he will speak. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You're going to believe on that stone. You're going to be refreshed by it. And you're not going to rush off somewhere. You're going to cool yourself, refresh yourself with the breath of life, which is truth. You see, what did God do when he created man? He breathed into him the breath of life. That's what refreshing is, to be refreshed from the Father, the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. I'm going to flood them out. I'm going to destroy them. They're not even going to know what's happening, but I'm going to do it anyway. Verse 18, to complete this lecture. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. You make a covenant with the false Christ, and guess what? It goes nowhere. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. With the overflowing scourge shall pass through them. You shall be trodden down by it. And we could go on and on. Our Father is not happy. He's warned. He's talking about nations here, okay? And the fact of what he's going to do, and I would like to say is doing. If you recognize it, if you know him, how precious it is for God to touch you and give you that anointing, that truth, whereby you don't hear stammering lips. That's to say, a bunch of nonsense that makes no sense. Line on line, precept on precept. but truth, word for word for word, matched by current events of event, 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 until you see God's word as it beautifully comes to pass before you. And you're living it. You're a part of it. He has called you. You're chosen because you see that truth. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you, Father, for guiding us, for leading us, and blessing us. We give you that praise and thanks for the refreshing truth, the Father, that descends upon us. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD.